When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Hong Kong, CNN reporting. Key index measuring the strength of China's massive services sector jumped to its highest level in more than a decade as the country's economic recovery gained traction. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very pleased to be joined by Anne Stevenson Yang, our guide on the Chinese economy. She is also the author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. And a very good day to you. The services sector, this is very articulate. What does it mean to China? What does it mean for their recovery? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. I just, particularly since the last enthusiasm over PMI numbers came out in March, I really discount the PMI because I think that legitimately people in China are much more optimistic about the economy because it's reopened. But I have no other indication from the services sector that things are doing well. So I wouldn't rely on the PMI as an indicator.
PMI is Purchasing Managers Index for non-manufacturing goods. So we're talking about everything besides the factories. Is that it, Anne?
That's right. But it's based on a survey, and the survey is based on people's view of the economy. So some of it is more reliable than others, like, you know, new import orders that you have in hand or export orders. Your attitude about what's going to happen to traffic to your restaurant really is not necessarily indicative of what really will happen.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And your comment reminded me of something, and that is that there were before unofficial PMIs done by Caixin and others. And China seems to have done its best to make sure that the people followed the official PMI and have made it difficult to conduct these surveys if you're a private business. Is there an element of coercion in this, or is that not a factor when people answer the PMI's surveys?
Well, it's been a really long time since I had direct experience with the PMI surveys. But what I do know is that the government manipulates certain portions of the data in order to make it look better. For example, there's a seasonal algorithm that's applied in order to smooth out seasonal changes, and that algorithm's changes are not public. So the government can use that changes to that to make the number better. I know in certain other types of surveys that they have asked participants in the surveys to lower their previous year's numbers in order to increase the percentage growth. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened with the PMI as well.
And because we've been talking about services, the rest of the economy is dominated by real estate and factories. I want to start with the real estate because consistently I lose track of what they've done about their large unbuilt cities and apartments, part of the scandal of, I believe it was called Evergreen or Evergrande, something fantastic. Has that been solved with money? Did they give out more credit, and so the complaints stopped and the protests stopped, or are they still ongoing?
No, and they did give out a whole lot of money. And as you know, protests and mortgage strikes are not welcome by the Chinese government. So they used a mix of coercion and sort of carrots and sticks to end that. But it's a big headache for local governments, these unfinished properties. So what they did was they handed out a lot of money to governments and asked them to complete the properties. A few did, a very small proportion, actually. But then there was a big question over ownership. Like, did the governments actually have ownership of the completed properties, or did the developers? And what often happened is that the developers claimed that they still owned the properties and they refused to hand them over until the government gave them the title to these completed buildings. So, you know, that's just one type of problem that they've run into. So I don't think they've had tremendous success in getting these properties completed.
Gordon?
With regard to property, Anne, is there still an oversupply and are properties still overvalued, or has that come down to reasonable levels?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, you're in a country where you have cities where individuals or families own 5 units on average, where the very wealthiest group of people own around 20 units. I mean, this is vastly oversupplied market, and a price decline is what the Chinese government fears more than anything. And so every time there's an effort by developers to discount in order to generate sales, the government will step in and put a floor on the permissible price and give loans to the developers in order to allow them to survive without selling. So the prices in the market don't really reflect what people will pay.
Anecdote: a colleague of mine has business on the mainland, the Guangdong province, the Pearl River Valley, where all the technology, the high-end stuff, is produced. And consistently over many weeks, this starts in zero COVID time but continues after the zero COVID lifted. The report is that factory owners calling around looking for business. We've got an assembly line, we've got workers, and we don't have product right now in our books, or we don't have enough workers and they're coming back momentarily. Also connected to this was supply chain is better, but the logic is maybe that's because we're not shipping as much or there's not the same demand. Do you have a sense of the factories recovering in the rest of the nation, or is that still a troubled, non-transparent sector?
Hard to say. I mean, an 8% decline in exports is really pretty sharp if you think about it. So that means that some factories are seeing, you know, 15 and 20% decline in business year on year. So that's quite a lot. The country started to report very high reopening percentages back in January. So I'm not sure what's left in the tank to report by now.
Gordon, you have a question.
And the imports for the combined January-February period for China were down 10.2%. And imports, in a sense, are perhaps more important than exports because they show domestic demand. Do you expect that there will be a recovery in trade from March going forward? Or do you think that that's going to continue with very soft trade numbers?
Again, it's one of those things where they seem to have used up a lot of the fuel in their tank, because you see export numbers surging for subsidized categories like automobiles and processed oil and certain types of steel, where you feel that people are so desperate for markets that they're discounting, and they also get big subsidies from the government. I've always thought that exports would be sustained because there's so many subsidies in the Chinese economy for exports. But the decline in Q1 has really been surprising, and I'm not sure that they have the ability to continue any export growth in Q2.
Friendshoring, reshoring, much to talk these last years, especially as the U.S. and China have moved towards enmity. There's talk in Mexico about reshoring or friendshoring, boosting the economy. There certainly has been a lot of reporting about Apple moving some or all of its operations to India. Does that show up in the numbers, Anne?
Yeah, it shows up in the numbers. I mean, it's been a very slow process. This is something that that companies have been aware that they needed to do since about 2015. And I think that the pandemic really demonstrated to all of us how sclerotic our supply chains actually are, and how companies need to spread their bets a little bit. So this is going on. You see a soft decline in the foreign direct investment. You see you see a slight decline in industrial activity. So yeah, you see it, but it's clouded by the domestic numbers, which are bigger than the foreign numbers.
Ann Stephenson Yang, author of the forthcoming China Alone, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Matthews.